You are listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the December 14th, 2017 edition of On the Daily. I'm Heath Kruger. You can follow me on Twitter at HeathK. Joining me tonight, like he does every week, it's Nick Giffen, the crusher of DFS souls himself. You can find him on Twitter at RotoDoc. Nick, how's everything going tonight? And are you ready to really get into this week? That's one of the last few that we have on the slate here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Took the last 2 weeks off. 2 weeks ago was to focus on the FFPC. And this past weekend, I also wanted to focus on the first round of the FFPC. But this week, I'm back in the saddle. We're going to play some DFS this week, so I'm ready.
Yeah, it was a little unfortunate. You linked me that lineup that you were considering for cash, and I believe it was last week. That looked like it could have took down some GPPs.
2 weeks in a row, man. I mean, I had that Kansas City stack 2 weeks ago that I was all about. And then this past week, especially that cash game trio of running backs, LeSean McCoy, Todd Gurley, Gio Bernard, would have been a good team. But that's life.
Hey, I mean, it's just going to translate into this week. Just keep that hot streak rolling, right?
There you go. I tend to do better at the end of the season anyway. I had my a big shot at $1 million last year. I think it was this exact week.
Yeah, well, if you don't get it, let's hope a listener gets it. So let's get into everything. But before we do, want to remind everyone you can get a listeners only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our premium NFL content, and it also supports the pod. All right, let's begin with our cash game plays, Nick, and we're going to start at the running back position. Some pretty obvious plays, a lot of names that we're quite familiar of this week, this season. Couple of Saints running backs, couple of Patriots running backs, and we have an elite running back finally getting back on the main slate. So Nick, who are some guys in cash games at the running back position that you're considering this week?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think you have to consider Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, 9,300 on DraftKings, but it's New England, and I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's obviously the highest-scoring per team total, or over-under, I should say, on the slate there. And Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown have just been lighting it up lately, so I think Le'Veon Bell is going to get plenty of volume with so many points that are expected to be scored. You got to think Le'Veon Bell will have a chance or two in the red zone. And New England isn't exactly the best versus pass-catching running backs. They allow higher than league average targets, higher than league average yards. So I think in all facets of the game, Le'Veon Bell is going to be used. He's going to be very popular, but rightly so for cash games. So certainly on board with Le'Veon Bell. I think Kenyon Drake, 5,800, considering the work he's been getting and what we've seen him just do recently. Obviously, he just ate up the Patriots in terms of raw yardage, putting up 114 on the ground, 79 in the air. He's had at least 20 through the air in four of his past six games there. So he definitely gets some targets in the pass game as well. And, of course, some of those were even before the Damian Williams injury. So the past two games, he's just been incredible. Now he gets Buffalo, who, again, Buffalo has been hemorrhaging yards on the ground. Obviously, they had the snow game there against Indy, and so Frank Gore got to pile up a bunch of carries. Not exactly the greatest yards per carry, but Buffalo still has been somebody you can eat up on the ground. So I think Kenyon Drake, both between the amount of receiving work he's gotten and the fact that he's got a great matchup against Buffalo, certainly a guy I want to look at for cash games. And then really it's just trying to figure out what other direction you want to go. Do you want to pay up for a third running back? Do you just want to go two running backs? Do you want to pay down for a third running back? I think there are certainly some options. I think some people will be on Mike Davis. I'm not in love with that as much. I think, I guess if you do want to beat LA, I tend to like to beat them through the air. I mean, we saw Carson Wentz before he got injured, beat them through the air with all those passing touchdowns. So I'm not a huge fan of the Mike Davis play. I think some people will be on it, and I think that it's okay, but not my favorite play there. So I think this might be a week where I go two running backs in cash. If I do go with a third running back, I think it's probably going to be Mark Ingram just because he's a discount to Kamara, and Kamara coming off the concussion. He probably will get his full workload, but don't know for sure. So I still like Mark Ingram. That offensive line is just so good there, and they're heavily favored against the Jets. One other thing to keep an eye out is Leonard Fournette. I do think if he's fully healthy and good to go, you could consider him in cash games as well, but he has a new injury this week, which is a quad injury. He hasn't been listed for a quad injury at all yet this year. So between the ankle, between the quad, I think there's some cause for concern with Leonard Fournette. You know, he had a foot injury earlier this year, so there's a lot of, I think, connection going on in those leg, the limbs there. So I really would want him to be fully healthy before I consider him in cash games. If he's somehow out, then obviously you have to take a look at the Jacksonville backup backs there. But right now at this point in time, it might be a week where I only go two running backs, you know, maybe just Le'Veon Bell and Jay Ajayi. I definitely think they're the obvious plays, but I don't mind paying up for another running back. My preference would be Mark Ingram.
Interesting, interesting. I like that. And I'm assuming you mean Kenyon Drake, Le'Veon Bell and Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, who did I say?
I think you said Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I meant Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
That Miami guy.
Yes. And Kenyon Drake and Le'Veon Bell, two pretty just obvious smash spots. And there are some other names I think that people might throw around to consider. Of course, you got to keep the Saints running backs in play, but I guess when you have a guy like a Le'Veon Bell, when you don't have to try to guess between the two, you might as well just go with the Le'Veon Bell and the Kenyon Drake and just kind of be happy with that, as Drake's just been killing it as of late. Gurley, I think, could be an interesting direction. I don't know if you really have to go that way, at least in cash. The one name I was kind of intrigued by, and I wanted to get your thoughts on, Minnesota taking on the Cincinnati Bengals this week. And on DraftKings, Latavius Murray is 4,900, has been seeing a lot of increased volume. And when the game script has been going Minnesota's way, they have been feeding him just a plenty of touches, especially around the goal line as well. For a cheap running back this week, do you think it's necessary, if you want to spend up elsewhere, to go with the Latavius Murray? Or do you think the better option is just to really grab two of these guys, Le'Veon Bell, Kenyon Drake, and just be happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you're right in terms of the game script, that Latavius Murray has benefited in positive game script. The first game he's really actually played since the injury to Dalvin Cook, where they lost, was this most recent one against Carolina, and he only had 9 rush attempts. So you really want the game script to be in his favor. Of course, they're at home against Cincinnati, so it should be in his favor. Right now, they're 11-point favorites, so I definitely think you could consider Latavius Murray. I really like that play in GPP. I guess I don't mind it in cash as well. You're really relying on a touchdown for Latavius Murray. And, I think, in cash games, it might be a little too touchdown dependent, but I certainly like the call in GPP.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next position, Nick, the wide receiver position. Some familiar names that you're going to see on here. Some names that have kind of let us down as of recently. And, you know, it's probably going to be going back to that Steelers-Patriots game, and it's really going to come down to where you kind of choose to spend your money this week, because there's going to be some tough decisions. So yeah, who are some guys that you're considering this week at wide receiver in cash?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, because if you play Le'Veon Bell, do you also play Antonio Brown? That's a lot of your salary. You're going to have to find some value, so you may have to go with another value running back instead of paying up for two running backs if you play Antonio Brown. So those are some decisions that are going to have to be made. And, I definitely don't mind Antonio Brown in cash. The dude just gets crazy, crazy volume. I mean, you look at his game log, 144, 169, 101, 213 yards, and 6 touchdowns in that 4-game span there. So you can't really go wrong with Antonio Brown, and I think you have to kind of play him in cash. So if you play both him and Le'Veon, then you're probably looking at paying down if you go with 3 running backs, paying down for 2 running backs, one being, of course, Kenyon Drake, and the other maybe finding another value running back. Maybe it is Latavius Murray. Maybe it's Samaje Perine. So, you know, you're really going to have to figure out how to attack this slate if you decide to pay for both Le'Veon and for Antonio Brown. So it definitely complicates things. If you decide to forego the Antonio Brown route, I don't mind doing something where you play like kind of two expensive wide receivers, or maybe not like super expensive, but kind of medium expensive, like Michael Thomas, I really like against the New York Jets. He's just been getting an insane amount of volume. He has insane consistency. Our friends over at Fantasy Lab, if you look at their duds metric, he only has an 18% dud rate over his past 16 games, which is awesome. It's one of the best in the slate. And in a decent matchup, the Jets hemorrhage points through the air, especially in touchdowns. So I'd expect probably a touchdown from Michael Thomas. So I like that play. You could consider Brandon Cooks, but if Hogan is going to be out there, I kind of like Hogan a lot better. It sounds like he's probable at this point in time, and he's only 5,500. Pittsburgh has definitely struggled a little bit more recently in the past game. So I like Chris Hogan in cash. I certainly don't mind that play. If you want to continue to find some cheap value, not super cheap, but good value at the wide receiver position, I like DeeDee Westbrook. I know some people will maybe talk about, for example, Devin Funchess. Funchess right now is 6,600 against Green Bay on DraftKings. But if you look at his last four games, 6, 12, 7, and 7, look down $1,500 cheaper to DeeDee Westbrook over his last four games, 6, 10, 9, and 8. Especially those last three, which is, of course, DeeDee Westbrook, his first game as a pro was only 6 targets, air quote only. His next three games, 10, 9, and 8. So an average of 9 targets per game. Funchess isn't even averaging that over his past three. So I like, save if you know, if you had to pick one between Funchess and DeeDee Westbrook for cash, I definitely like DeeDee Westbrook. $5,100, as I mentioned, averaging 9 targets over his past three, more than teammate Marquise Lee. So I think he's slowly becoming maybe a 1A option to Marquise Lee's 1B. If not, at worst, he's kind of a 1B to Marquise Lee's 1A there over in Jacksonville. The matchup is just fine against Houston. So I think you're going to have to find some places to pay down. I think DeeDee Westbrook, $5,100, certainly a spot you could definitely make an argument for Jamison Crowder, as he'll be avoiding Patrick Peterson at 5,600. And he's definitely been a lot better the second half of the year than he was the first half of the year. So I think there's some good pay down spots at wide receiver that maybe you could jam in both Bell and Brown, go cheaper running back and find a couple cheaper options at the wide receiver position. But yeah, it's really tough. I'm curious, first of all, not in addition who you might, what other names you might have, but how you're approaching the expensive, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown situation this week.
I think I'm going to approach it the same way as you. I'm probably going to opt to go with Le'Veon Bell and leave Antonio Brown probably for my GPP lineups, if his ownership doesn't project to be super high, that is. As I do think these spots are just so much more favorable for New England, even though they are in Pittsburgh this week. I don't know, just a personal bias of mine. But anyway, I'm really surprised that you're not on Devin Funchess, but that does make sense. He is a little more up there in terms of salary at 6,600. And you had thrown out some guys that I really like for cash, Chris Hogan. I was surprised by the DeeDee Westbrook call because I was going to be all over Marquise Lee. But I think you're right on that call, with the, at least on DraftKings, $700 savings and targets that are much more valuable and just as numerous as Marquise Lee. I love that call. It might be an adjustment I make myself. What do you think about Robert Woods in that same area in a pretty nice matchup, really, against this just decimated Seattle Seahawks secondary for 5,700 coming back in one of these games that I expect to shoot out, as Russell Wilson has just been kind of carrying this team on his back. And we know the Rams themselves are, have a quite potent offense. I expect this to be a high-flying game. What do you think about Robert Woods?
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely getting a discount compared to where he was in his most recent game, but that was four games ago against Minnesota. He's missed the last three. I'm not sure how much he's going to play, obviously, coming off that shoulder injury. Sounds like he's going to be fine, but there is a little bit of injury concern. The matchup is obviously better than it's been, given the injuries to Seattle secondary, but, I'm a little hesitant to play a guy coming off an injury. Now, of course, I also did mention Chris Hogan, but I am a little hesitant to play a guy coming off an injury like that. So if I did, I'd probably rather have Chris Hogan. He did play last week against the Dolphins. Didn't have a great game. 5 targets, 1 catch for 1 yard. So I would be very hesitant for Robert Woods as well, because you never know if he could put up some kind of a similar line. And they both had shoulder injuries, so something to think about there with Robert Woods in cash. In GPP, I think it's fine. Obviously, I also wouldn't go crazy on Robert Woods in GPP, but I think there's more upside there than there is safety. So I think there, in cash, I don't want to take too much risk there with Robert Woods.
Fair enough, fair enough. And then two more guys to throw your way. So you had mentioned Michael Thomas. He is a little pricey this week in just an absolute smash spot against the Jets, $7,400 on DraftKings. Does Alvin Kamara coming back kind of give you pause when it comes to cash lineups? As we've seen in previous weeks, Drew Brees, his pass attempts really come down quite a bit when those two running backs are rolling. And then one more to consider, kind of in that same mid-range, Marquise Goodwin against the Tennessee Titans for $6,000 with the new real handsome quarterback in town, Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you think of those two guys?
Well, I mean, so Michael Thomas, I do like him in cash a lot, and the Kamara situation doesn't bother me. I mean, Kamara's been there every game, including this most recent game for at least part of it, and Thomas had 14, 9, 8, 11, 10, 11, 8, 11, you know, I mean, just super mad consistency. He hasn't had fewer than 52 receiving yards over his last, eight games, so at least five receptions, all of those as well. So he's just been the model of consistency there. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't continue to have that kind of consistency. And he has pretty good, quite high, actually, I'd say touchdown equity. So I like Michael Thomas in cash, and Kamara really doesn't factor into my decision with Michael Thomas. As far as Marquise Goodwin, the matchup's very good. Obviously, he's got a lot of air yards. He gets a nice depth of target. He's had 99 and 106 receiving yards the past couple games. Before that, 78, 83, 68. So there's a lot of potential there for him. I really like him in GPPs. I'm more concerned in cash because of that depth of target that, sometimes he becomes a little busty in terms of his overall production, a low catch rate. For example, you look against Arizona, 8 targets, 2 receptions. Now, of course, Patrick Peterson, I'm sure, factored into that. But he can be a little boom or bust. So I tend to shy away from those types of guys in cash, especially when they're priced up. I mean, he's never been priced as high as he is now. He's $6,000. And in his career, he's never been priced this high. He's usually a guy who's been hovering in the $3,000 range, occasionally getting into the $4,000. Last week, of course, $5,100 against Houston, had a massive game. But yeah, I mean, the matchup's very good, and I like him in GPPs, but I think in cash, I worry maybe just a touch that he can be a little bit boom or bust, and he's also at his highest price point of, like, ever by quite a significant margin.
Great stuff, Nick. All right, let's move on to the next position, the quarterback position. We were talking a little bit off air about this. It's one to where there are some quite obvious and just quite good spots, but you know, this is kind of a week. If you want that nice spot, you are going to have to pay, with the exception of one or two names that may be a little more risky. So, yeah, who are some guys at the quarterback position you are considering for your cash lineups this week?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really, really interesting week in cash games because I think there's a select handful of quarterbacks that make sense, and they all tend to be, like you said, on the expensive side of things. I know one of the best ways to increase your expected value for your lineup is to pay down a quarterback, but I think most of people will be paying up at quarterback this week in cash games. I mean, obviously, you can start right at the top with Tom Brady. They have a very high team total, the highest, second highest team total on the slate at 28 points, but he is $7,600. The highest team total on the slate goes to New Orleans Saints, and Drew Brees is $6,500, so $1,100 cheaper. But you also have to remember they've got that great running game there in New Orleans, and they score a lot of touchdowns on the ground. Facing the Jets helps. The Jets have allowed the second most passing touchdowns this year, so I certainly don't mind Drew Brees in cash. I think there's a very high floor there. just because, you know, he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. The Saints have such a high team total relative to Breeze's salary, and there's enough touchdown upside there that it should go. You know, I don't see any reason he doesn't throw for at least like 200 yards against the Jets here, unless they absolutely just totally blow him out and don't have a need to. But he's only thrown for 200 yards, fewer than 200 yards twice this year, and most of the time he throws around 250 or even more, especially recently. So I think Drew Brees is fine in cash. Brady is okay in cash, but I'd probably rather not pay that much for him. I think Ben Roethlisberger is somebody I'd rather pay for in this game. I know they have a little bit lower team total than the Patriots, but if that means they're going to be playing from behind at home in a decent matchup, I certainly don't mind Ben Roethlisberger playing him in cash games as well. And he's been just incredible recently since the Steelers' bye. He's had, I think, every finish has been QB10 or better. So Ben Roethlisberger has just been on fire, and I think definitely in a situation in a high scoring game against New England at home, you can use him. The question then becomes, like, are you using too many Pittsburgh Steelers? But I don't mind that. I mean, there's such a high floor there with the game situation, the matchup at home, that you can do all that. If you want to pay down, I guess, you know, it's kind of ugly this week, but I guess you could maybe go with Blake Bortles, but I think this game might get out of hand, so you probably don't need to do Blake Bortles in cash, maybe more of a GPP type play. I think you're probably paying up, and I think my favorite cash game play, if you're paying up, is probably Drew Brees, maybe Ben Roethlisberger. And I can certainly see an argument for Cam Newton as well. I mean, you got a lot of rushing equity, and it's a great matchup against Green Bay, so hard to go wrong with either of those three guys, 67, 65, and 6,400 on DraftKings. Maybe you actually do go Cam just because he's the cheapest of the three.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough decision. I'm almost just kind of how running back and wide receiver has really looked in terms of all the salary you can spend to get just some fantastic plays. It's going to be really hard to choose a quarterback. And honestly, every time I kind of look through the list, I just keep coming back to Blake Bortles' name, as difficult as that is to consider for a cash game lineup. But the matchup against Houston is just, it's a smash one. This Houston secondary has just been giving up so many points to opposing quarterbacks, and they actually, kind of operate in a lot of ways like one of those filter defenses. Especially if Leonard Fournette does not go, maybe they do just rely on Blake Bortles and his newly, found weapon, D.D. Westbrook and Marquise Lee. I certainly won't see it get past them. I think their team total is, I believe they're tied for fourth highest on the slate, on the main slate. It's not that terrible, but I think I'm with you. I think I'm going to end up going to Cam Newton, as even though his passing yards have not been blowing anybody away, this is a really nice matchup against Green Bay. He's kind of priced down. You don't have the same worries like you do with a Drew Brees. You know the offense is going to go around him. That Jonathan Stewart week is just, in my opinion, just a real outlier. I expect the offense to go right back to him and rely on him and his rushing ability. His, maybe not as voluminous in previous years is goal line work, but still there. And then, the offense has just been running better as of late without Kelvin Benjamin, and Devin Funchess has kind of stepped up. So I think he's going to guy that I'm going to be the guy end up playing in cash, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still not 100% on that decision.
Yeah, and I think if you do play him in cash, you probably want to avoid Kelvin Benjamin, or Devin Funchess, I should say, just because there's a positive correlation between those two. Then if Cam has a bad game, then it's certainly possible that Funchess has a bad game. They can bring each other down. Or if, Cam scores some rushing touchdowns, then Funchess may not get any touchdowns or anything like that. So I'd probably avoid playing the two together. Now, obviously, in GPPs, because of that positive correlation there, you can play them together in GPPs, no problem. But given what we know of the slate, that you're paying up for either Brown or Bell, maybe both, I think it makes a lot of sense to drop from Funchess down to a guy like D.D. Westbrook this week.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff, Nick. All right, let's move on to our last position, the tight end position. And it's an absolute wasteland, Nick. I don't know about you, but I went through every single game. I have four names written down, and I think I only feel good about two of them. So maybe you could help me out here and go over some names at the tight end position that you do feel comfortable utilizing in cash this week.
I'm with you, man. I actually really hate the tight end position this week. I think it's just a total disaster out there. I guess you could go with Jimmy Graham. I think if you're playing LA, like I said, the way you want to beat them is through the air. Tight end is not a bad matchup for them. Graham is priced a little bit down at 4,900. He's been 5,000, 6,000 in recent weeks, so don't mind the price discount. The problem with him has been the targets. 6, 4, and 2 the past three games is not what you want to see from a cash game tight end. That's $4,900. So certainly pretty tough there in that regards. Obviously, Gronk and Ertz are in play. The concern there with Ertz, of course, is Nick Foles. How is Foles going to be? I like that pairing in GPPs. I think there obviously is some concern in cash games. Gronk, it's just a matter of he's so expensive and you're paying up. So really just a terrible week at the tight end position. I think Jimmy Graham is probably the guy I'm going to go with. And then depending on how a salary and roster and things like that work out, I could also see Kyle Rudolph. Now, of course, he's also questionable, so you need to kind of keep an eye on that. But I think Kyle Rudolph, if you absolutely are like, if you're like $100 or $200 short from Jimmy Graham, you got $4,800 left over and you can't fit in Graham, I don't mind Kyle Rudolph in cash games as well. The matchup versus Cincinnati is very good, and he's been playing a lot better towards the second half of this year. You look at his game log, 10.8, 22.3, 13.6, 13.10. And even before that, 8-7, then 14-7. So much better the second half of this year. They're getting him much more involved, but I don't love it. I'd much rather have Jimmy Graham than Kyle Rudolph in cash. I guess if you really, really want to like pay down, Jesse James, I think, will be a popular name. But again, I don't love the situation here. I think it was a great matchup for him last week against Baltimore, and I think that's why he saw as much volume as he did. Also, Juju Smith-Schuster was out. So I think that really pushed things towards Jesse James there. I don't love it this week. Maybe more of a GPP play than a cash game play.
Yeah, it just stinks. It's like, with Kyle Rudolph, we're recording this Wednesday night, everybody. He did not practice Wednesday. I believe he left the game Sunday in a walking boot. So that is certainly not anything good for his prospects. You don't even get the good matchup of, I mean, Ben Watson's taking on Cleveland. So that's a name you kind of want to, maybe toss around. But you got to pay up for him. $3,800 on DraftKings. That's just.
And he had what, one target last week or something like that?
Exactly. So I understand he had a great game against Cleveland earlier this season, but that's kind of highway robbery for that kind of, potential floor, that absolutely zero floor almost for him. It's Jimmy Graham seems like the guy. And then, I don't know, maybe if you just want to completely punt the position, maybe just go with like a Garrett Celek. I don't know. It tempts me to, like, in spots like these, just to find a guy in a, potential shootout matchup that at least been seeing decent volume as of late and might maybe catch a touchdown and just go as cheap as possible. I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about this probably up until Sunday. Probably go with Jimmy Graham with you, but I'm not ruling out just completely punting the position altogether and just finding value at the other, running back and wide receiver positions.
Yeah, I'm also with you there. And if you do, I think a couple other names you could look at are both the Cleveland tight ends, Njoku and DeValve. David Njoku's 2,700, DeValve 2,500. Njoku's 6-4 and 2 targets in his last three games. So that's an average of 4 targets per game. Before that, 1, then 6, 7, 5, 5. So there's some potential for targets there. If you look at DeValve, he's $200 cheaper. Not as many targets, 3, 3, 2, 3. But the matchup against Baltimore is one you always want to pick on, the way they've played the tight end position this year. So I don't mind that. I mean, obviously we saw that, Njoku had a, or I should say not Njoku, but, Jesse James had a big game against Baltimore last week. And now with, the departure of Kenny Britt from Cleveland, maybe that frees up an extra target or two. Britt wasn't very good anyway. But I guess in that case, I wouldn't mind totally just punting with a guy like Njoku.
Michael Floyd 2.0, Kenny Britt?
No chance.
All right. That's going to do it for the cash game segment. Let's move on to the next segment of the show, Nick. contrarian corner, some of your top contrarian plays at any position where you're really just looking to pivot off the chalk and gain some leverage in tournaments this week. Who are you looking at? Is it, you know, a particular player? Is it a spot, you know, where you can pivot off of to another side of the offense that everyone's, you know, expecting the other side to go off? What are some spots you're looking at to be contrarian this week in tournaments?
Yeah, I definitely like Brandon Cooks. I know we talked about Chris Hogan maybe in cash games, but Cooks will also be a beneficiary of this high-scoring game, of the fact that, you know, Pittsburgh has struggled a bit more against wide receivers lately due to some injuries. So I think, obviously Brandon Cooks can get downfield as well. I definitely like the fact that he'll probably be less than 15% owned, probably even less than 10% owned, at least in that neighborhood at $7,100, a good pivot off Michael Thomas. Like I said, a good leverage off of Chris Hogan will probably be higher owned. And I think he's in a really good situation there as a guy that could be low owned in a high scoring game. And that's something you always want to see, is these guys that are, in high scoring games that are low owned and that have just massive upside potential, like Brandon Cooks always does. I know we talked about D.D. Westbrook, but I like Marquise Lee as well. And I think he'll be lower owned than D.D. Westbrook just because what we've talked about, fewer targets than Westbrook in recent weeks and more expensive. So I definitely think you want to take advantage of that matchup there. Marquise Lee versus Houston will be a good matchup and probably a bit contrarian there. So if I'm playing Blake Bortles in GPPs, you can double stack D.D. Westbrook and Marquise Lee. That's totally fine. But I also just like maybe just single stacking with Marquise Lee and getting some leverage off of Westbrook. Now, maybe not the best play, but I certainly think if you're multi-entering or something like that, you could get away from Westbrook in a couple of those Bortles stacks and go with just a Marquise Lee instead. So a couple nice contrarian plays at the wide receiver position there. Tight ends, I guess maybe you could take a bullet with a guy like Greg Olsen. A couple of positive things, aside from his obviously foot injury problems, he did play 92% of the snaps this past weekend and ran a route on 22 of Newton's 27 dropbacks. So if he just continues to maybe get a bit healthier, that's a good sign. The Green Bay matchup isn't super great for the tight end, but I could certainly see if he's only 5% owned, him, you know, having some upside there. Maybe this is the week he finally gets involved. And if we like playing Cam and GPPs, and I certainly, again, don't mind stacking Devin Funchess. He's obviously the play you want to stack with Cam, but I think Greg Olsen will probably be a bit under owned as well. Finally, I think a bit of contrarianism would be in this San Francisco-Tennessee game. Instead of going on the San Francisco side of the ball, going to the Tennessee side of the ball. San Francisco is just abysmal on defense. Marcus Mariota has been abysmal in fantasy, but this might be the saving grace situation here for Mariota. This might be his ceiling game this year, so I would want some exposure to him in GPPs. And I guess maybe we'll talk about who to stack with in stacking section, but my personal opinion is I don't mind even just like naked Mariota just because of his legs there. And who the heck are you going to stack him with? Corey Davis has been terrible. Eric Decker's been terrible. Rishard Matthews comes back. Maybe it's Rishard Matthews you want to stack him with, but it's certainly tough. I mean, you could always stack him with Delanie Walker, and then San Francisco has been pretty friendly to the running back position, so I don't mind even stacking with a running back, whether it's DeMarco Murray or Derrick Henry. You know, you'd have to make that call, but just Mariota himself, I like him as a contrarian play in a game where both pass defenses are terrible, so maybe we just get a little bit of a shootout. Now, don't go crazy, because we've seen some of these situations before this year that haven't really panned out, but I don't mind 5% Mariota or something like that. If you're, you know, playing 20 lineups, throw him in a lineup or two.
Yeah, I think that's what I decided to do as well, because I was looking at something similar with the Titans, and I kept going back to all of these games to where they should have smashed, and they just didn't, but it's still such a nice spot to not really take advantage of it, because you know no one's going to be on it. Everyone has seen this Titans team. I think everyone's reached the same conclusion that they have not looked very good. But you know what? Some things change, and they change quickly in the NFL. And why couldn't it happen against a 49ers defense that's been absolutely awful all season? So I like that call a lot. One more, just a couple more to throw out there. Alex Collins on the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Cleveland Browns. Now, I know traditionally we do not go after players that are in the running game against the Browns, that has kind of been one of their strengths. But we do see this game getting out of control heavily in favor of the Baltimore Ravens. It just set up so nicely for a team to really just continue running the ball. He's been playing very well as of late, and I could see this one just really getting out of control as, you know, we don't expect Flacco to have to put the ball in the air, and it's Baltimore has really shown that when they get ahead, they really don't like him throwing anyway. So a ton of touches for Alex Collins could be just a fantastic spot for him to maybe go off in a tournament. I like that a lot. The Eagles passing game, I think, is going to be one that people might not really buy into immediately, since there's just so many good spots this week. And, you know, a Nick Foles, possibly Zach Ertz stack, I think would just be absolutely fun. Just in, you know, they are playing the New York Giants this week, who have just been absolutely terrible on defense in the second half of the season, I should say. Maybe Nick Foles comes out and he just happens to be good. You could really hit on a low ownership percentage spot there. That would be another one I really like. And then one more, the Samaje Perine. I don't know if you had mentioned him, but that is also a spot to where we're going to see a guy who's likely to see a lot of volume. Redskins are favored by 4. They haven't been in too many of positive game scripts as of late. So this could be a game to where he could easily have 2 touchdowns. And with all the volume he's going to see at his price, could end up being a nice game for him.
Yeah, I like all those plays. Collins, Perine, both of those plays I think are good GPP plays, and I definitely would get some exposure to both of them. Probably even be a little bit overweight on both of them, maybe 10-15% on each. I wouldn't even mind up to 20%. I mean, Alex Collins, touchdown in 4 straight games, including a 2-touchdown game there. He's getting plenty of volume. He's had double-digit carries all the way back to essentially the beginning of October, October the 8th game, not the October 1st game. And he gets a few targets, especially more recently. He's had at least 2 targets in every game since the 19th of November. So, it's 4 games in a row. He's had at least 2 targets. Not obviously a huge amount of work in the passing game, but enough. Just that touchdown upside, I don't mind it. But yeah, I would say 10-15-20% range for both of those guys is reasonable.
Great stuff, Nick. All right. Let's move on to the next segment of the show. But before we do, we have a message from our friends over at Draft. Fantasy football fans, listen up. There's no better time than now to try out the new app Draft. It's 1 week fantasy football with no management. When you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft will even take care of those pesky last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes. You can hop into one right now and play for cold, hard cash as low as $1 per game. So there's a draft for everybody. No salary caps. Playing a real-life snake draft just like you would with your friends in your season-long leagues. Come and join us on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or check them out on playdraft.com, whichever you prefer. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. You just got to use our promo code RVRadio. That's right, play a real money game today for free by just using the promo code RVRadio. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play with us for free with promo code RVRadio. All right, Nick, continuing on the season. We're in the last couple weeks here. I took down last week with really just a fantastic performance from Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins. Record goes to 8-6 on the season. Getting down to the last few games here. So, yeah, it looks like I'm going to start us off this week. So this is going to be an interesting one. It's just so many plays. And I was really thinking of taking Le'Veon Bell first, but you know what? I'm going to go in a different direction here, and I'm going to take Antonio Brown first in this one.
All righty. Well, I'm going to take I'm going to take Michael Thomas, and I'm going to take Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. One of each. All right. So if you're going to take Le'Veon Bell, I will go with my next running back. I'm going to go with Todd Gurley. And for my next wide receiver, I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, I like that one. I definitely would have considered that one as well. And I like the upside there, and I talked about him as a GPP play. Definitely like that call. All right, so I need to look at another pass catcher, and I guess possibly also a quarterback, something like that. I also have another running back I could put. So lots of options here for me. I am going to go ahead and take, let's see here, which quarterback do I want? I don't think it really matters, so I'm going to skip the quarterback position. I'm going to go ahead and pick another pass catcher. That's going to be none other than Rob Gronkowski, I think. Back from suspension, angry Gronk. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stack him with Tom Brady.
And you're going angry Tom narrative coming off the letdown Dolphins game. That is scary. That is scary to play against. Okay, so I'm going to need to round it out here with, just one solid quarterback. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. All right, so, and to follow it up with my last pick, I need a running back. I am going to go with a Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Mark Ingram's a pretty good pick there. I guess, I have Brandon Cooks there, and you have Mark Ingram, so that's pretty interesting. Gets a little gross after this. I think, good gosh, what am I going to do? I think I'm going to go with Devontae Freeman.
That's super interesting. That is not one I have considered. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. This is going to be an interesting week. There are some
I think you got the edge here going first in a week where there's a couple major plays. I probably also made a mistake by not picking Ingram and picking Gronk instead of Ingram. I probably should have picked Ingram, then figured out what quarterback I want. I don't think you probably would end up taking Gronk. So I probably made a little mistake there, but you never know how these things will shake out.
Right. Every week I think I'm going to win, I just seem to really just go right in the tank. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, let's move on to the next segment, Nick, the defensive segment. We kind of say it every week, defense and cash and GPPs. I don't think they're really that far off. You're really just looking to preferably, get a good value on your defense and just, hope for a game with a lot of turnover. So, who are some defenses you're considering for cash, for GPPs? Just who are some defenses you like in spots this week?
Yeah, I think certainly a weird week also at defense. I mean, the Jaguars, they're just so good. They're freaking just amazing this year, but they're priced up at $4,500 on DraftKings. Yet I still don't think they're necessarily a bad play. This defense is amazing. And now they get third string quarterback TJ Yates here. I think there's plenty of downsides. So I wouldn't play them in cash games, but I think in tournaments, they're a better play than in cash games. We saw last week, they only put up 8 points. And if your $4,500 defense is going to give you 8 points, not too into that for cash games, obviously with a position that's volatile like defense. So I'm probably not paying up for Jaguars in cash, but I like them in GPPs. I certainly don't mind that play. If you want to go a little bargain at the defense, I think Washington is an interesting defensive play going up against Arizona. They're at home this week. And of course, we know Arizona is on some backup quarterbacks there as well. The Redskins probably won't be highly owned. Just because they haven't been a great defense, but they have some good pieces there. I mean, obviously they've got Josh Norman. And so I think they can probably pressure Gabbard enough, maybe get a couple sacks in there that I don't mind that play, the Washington defense in GPPs. I guess my favorite cash game defense would probably have to be the Baltimore Ravens, 3,800. Against Cleveland. So they're not $4,500, a lot more palatable than 3,800 is a lot more palatable than 4,500, both with Jacksonville and Baltimore having very good matchups and arguably Baltimore having the better matchup against Cleveland. So I think Baltimore is probably my favorite cash game defense. They're on the expensive side. I don't mind Washington, like I said, possibly even in cash. I think Jacksonville's a great GPP defense.
Yeah, I like those a lot. The Baltimore one is probably going to be the one I'm heading to for cash games. You mentioned Jacksonville. The price is definitely up there, but I think it warrants it just for the ceiling they have against a third-string quarterback here. Even though it is a divisional matchup, I think you still got to have at least a little bit of exposure to them. The New Orleans Saints playing against the New York Jets. They will not have Josh McCown this week. So in all likelihood, you're going to see Bryce Petty. That's a great thing for if you own the New Orleans Saints defense, as there's a good reason they've been hiding these two quarterbacks behind Josh McCown all season, as they are not any good. So whatever either one plays, you know you're going to have a lot of potential defensive scoring opportunities there. The Minnesota Vikings taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, probably not as preferable, but I think one to where Andy Dalton he really knows how to put up some goose eggs and turn the ball over. And this Minnesota Vikings defense last week was kind of let some people down in a spot last week where I thought they played Carolina, right? Carolina just mopped the floor with them. So maybe they could bounce back here. And then one more that I think people might overlook and I kind of like, and they're a little expensive, $3,300 on DraftKings, the Buffalo Bills taking on the Miami Dolphins. This Miami Dolphins team coming off a big Monday night win, kind of thinking they're hot, stuff, beating the Patriots, and just come into cold Buffalo and just get waxed here with Jay Cutler. I could totally see that happening. This Buffalo team has just completely changed over the last 2 or 3 weeks. They are, I think they've recovered from the whole Nathan Peterman debacle, replacing Tyrod Taylor. And I think this is a perfect spot for them to really kind of maintain their spot in this AFC playoff race.
Interesting. Buffalo has been a tough defense for me. Played them, a couple weeks ago. But I think it was against Kansas City. And that was their best game of recent times. They've had 0, -2, -3, 8-5-5. So not exactly the hottest defense there.
Fair enough. But this is Jay Cutler we're talking about here. This is Jay Cutler. I should say, they have not been scoring a ton of points. But overall, the defense has looked quite good. All right, so let's move on to our final segment of the show, Nick, the stacks and correlations plays. We went over a few already in the Contrarian Corner segment, but yeah, who are some teams, whether it be games, teams, certain aspects of the offense in particular on certain teams that you're really looking to stack up and kind of just hit it out of the park with one of your GPP lineups this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens and Alex Collins play there, or the Redskins and Samaje Perine. I think both of those are great DST RB correlation plays there. Obviously, Cleveland, DeShone Kizer has been a little bit turnover prone, so that could create some opportunities there for Alex Collins, and he's been getting the goal line work, as we know, with touchdowns in 4 straight games, 5 in his past 4 games. So, like that play. I also like the, the Washington defense with Perine, that correlation play there as well, and it should be pretty low owned, given I think Washington's defense could be somewhat low owned there. So, pretty good situation there. I like, as I said, Cam Newton with Devin Funchess. I like that much more in GPP than in cash. So I definitely want to go that direction. But if you're going to run it back, Aaron Rodgers is back, right? So hopefully he'll be his totally fine self. And I think both Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson are fine plays. $6,800 for Davante Adams, $6,300 for Jordy. And we know Jordy is a lot better with Aaron Rodgers than he has been with Brett Hundley. So if they kind of hit on like they've been at the beginning of the year, where Jordy Nelson had 18-7, 20.9, a 0, and then 23-2 and 23-5, we're talking massive, massive value for Jordy Nelson here. So I think that's a great situation there for Jordy Nelson with Aaron Rodgers back. So you could run that back in the Cam Newton stack. You could maybe stack Aaron Rodgers with Jordy Nelson and run it back with Funchess or something like that. So I like pieces of this game. I don't think I necessarily want to game stack this game. I don't know if there's as much upside with Carolina being a pretty good defense and Rodgers coming back to health there, but I like I like stacking parts of this game. I wouldn't do probably wouldn't do a full game stack. I guess I'm going to talk about in Tennessee. I probably want to stack. If I am playing Marcus Mariota, I'm most likely either play naked Mariota or probably going with Rishard Matthews. He's been the most consistent with Mariota this year. So I just think it's a good situation to pick on San Francisco. Again, don't go crazy on Mariota. 5%, 10% tops. He's been awful this year, but I think this has a chance for a ceiling game for him at $6,000. This could be his one rushing touchdown, two or three passing touchdown type game of the year. And so I think if you do stack him, I probably just want to stack him with one player instead of two. I think you're probably getting a little too risky if you're stacking him with two. So if you're stacking him with one, I like stacking him with Rishard Matthews. The San Francisco side of the ball is kind of ugly, so you don't even necessarily have to game stack this just because we don't even know if this game is going to shoot out, even though both the pass defenses are pretty bad. Finally, if you like Minnesota's defense, we didn't mention them, but I think they're certainly in play against Cincinnati. Then, like I said, run it back with Latavius Murray or possibly even Jerick McKinnon. I think that'd be even more contrarian than doing it with Latavius Murray. McKinnon could always sneak in a goal line touchdown there, whether it's in the pass game or the rush game. And we saw him catch that one against Atlanta recently. So there's always the possibility that happens to him. And he is now cheaper than Latavius Murray and gets all the passing game work as well. Cincinnati allows a lot of points in the pass game to running backs. So I think this would be an interesting stack as well. It's kind of extra contrarian because usually you stack defenses with the ground running back, not one where you're going to be behind and you rely on the pass, but I think McKinnon gets enough work on the ground and the pass game just in neutral game script that it'll be fine anyway.
Yeah, like those a lot. One that you didn't mention I think is going to be pretty interesting. I think I'm going to have some stacks of the New Orleans Saints passing game. You know, this is really just kind of a spot to where I think the Saints can really just kind of choose what they want to do against this defense because their running game is just so potent. And, you know, to be honest, the Jets are much better against the run than they are against the pass. And if people overlook this passing game with Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, maybe even a little bit of Ted Ginn in there with the highest team total on the week, you could really just have a runaway passing game there that may go maybe not super low on by any means, but people with a lot of ownership percentage tied into Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, and you just kind of happen to shoot up the leaderboards up because of it. So that is one I'm going to be keeping an eye on. The Minnesota Vikings passing game, if Kyle Rudolph is out and really limits it to Adam Thielen and Stefon Diggs, that might be one I could see as stacking a ton of, as you know, just it will limit the passing options and hopefully you just kind of get all those touchdowns consolidated into those three guys. I think that would be great, and along with McKinnon as well. He's always a factor in the passing game too. The one I think I'm kind of looking forward to at least trying, I'm not going to have a ton of, and it's just this Eagles passing game, which just kind of intrigues me. I started out the week not wanting to play Nick Foles at all, but in my research, you can really tie a lot of that extremely poor play he had back to that Jeff Fisher-led Rams team. When you look to him back on the Chiefs in his time in Philly, he was not, starting quarterback quality by any means, but definitely passable. And he gets a really nice matchup against the New York Giants this week. And they're really just trying to press forward and keep this momentum going into the playoffs. So I think that's another one I really like.
Good stuff. Yeah, I think those are all good plays. And obviously, we didn't mention the obvious ones like Pittsburgh and New England. You're definitely stacking those and things like that. But I really do like getting Brandon Cooks in these stacks because I think he's going to be more contrarian than a guy like Hogan or even Gronk. But one other thing I wanted to point out just this year, in terms of DVOA, Pittsburgh allows the worst DVOA on passes to the left. Cooks lines up on the left 55% of the time, and they allow the 29th, fourth worst DVOA to deep balls. And of course, we know Brandon Cooks is a deep threat. So that deep and left there, it's not so much the cornerback matchup, but it's probably more the safety there for Pittsburgh not helping over enough. And so I think we could see Brandon Cooks maybe sneak in a deep reception there on the left side of the field. Obviously, Hogan could as well, so they're both fine plays, but I really like getting Brandon Cooks in that stack there as a more contrarian element than I think a lot of the other guys in this game will be. And hey, I think Rex Burkhead, $6,400 priced up. Obviously, Hogan probably going to be more involved. You know, I think people will be completely off of Burkhead and, you know, 5% Burkhead, something like that. He could have a 2-touchdown game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You want to look for the lower owned parts of this game and really just kind of make sure you play at least a little bit of them, as it could pay dividends in tournaments this weekend. So yeah, Nick, that's going to do it for this edition of On the Daily. Everyone, please remember to rate and review the RotoViz radio channel on iTunes. Be sure to get that 30% discount for subscribing to RotoViz through the RotoViz radio channel, rotoviz.com/podcast. So for Nick Giffen, who you can find on Twitter at RotoDoc, I'm Heath Kruger at HeathK on Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.